Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. We are on part number 3 of the armor of God. And how many find life to be a struggle? How many do not find life to be a struggle? I'll tell you what, if you don't, I'd like to have you sign my Bible. But I have found it to be tough. And I think, hopefully, the message today, if you have found life to be tough, will be helpful to you. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of the salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that your word would be an encouragement to us, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would use us in a way that people would recognize us, not just the people of that church that are working there, but it's the power of God being used through them and in them that has accomplished your will. Lord, it's not about us, it's all about you. I pray that we would always see that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Satan is a liar, he's a deceiver, he's an accuser, he's a murderer, and the list goes on. He's looking to destroy us. In John 10:10, the Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Satan is to be resisted, not endorsed. Got that in my note. Satan is to be resisted, not endorsed. And I didn't know we're throwing some party for him down in Portland. But not only has Portland turned into Potland, I guess it's turned into Satan land as well. And so they throw a party for him by news this morning that I was not aware of, but Terry says he's not going to be there. Well, that's interesting. Well, you want to remember that Satan can only be one place at one time. He's not omnipresent like our God is. But I want you to know that this morning we're having a party at the Cornerstone Baptist Church, and Jesus Christ is going to be honored, and he is here. And it's a guarantee that he'll be here. That's a big difference. Now, while Satan is a loser and a lunatic and a liar and all of the things that we want to call him, he is someone that is causing all the pain in the world, and why you'd want to eat a cupcake in his honor blows my mind. But he's subtle, and he's a deceiver, and he's very good at getting people to blame God for the problems rather than him for the problems. And he's very good at shifting the blame. And if there's trouble in your life, the source of evil in the world is not my Savior. It is Satan himself, and let's put the blame where it belongs. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You have power because of Christ in you to stop him in his tracks and to push him in the other direction. Jesus said, "I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Gates are for defense. You and I are on the move. We are on the offense. I'm a believer that a good defense is a good offense. If we're on the move, we won't have to set back and worry about what he's doing. We want him worried about what we are doing. We want to be busy preaching the gospel and reaching the lost and getting excited about our Savior and the life that we get to live. I don't know about you. Life may be hard, but I love being a Christian. Say that with me. I love being a Christian. And if you're not one here this morning and you're kind of confused about the singing and the things going on, I understand that. We are strange to you. We are strangers in this world. The world doesn't get us. They're not supposed to. But the reality of it is once you start experiencing a life in Christ, you would never want to be without it. And it's a wonderful life. We fight the struggle that you are dealing with, especially if you are a Christian, and even if you are not, We fight a threefold battle. Now, in World War II, there was a two-front war. Our military is always supposed to be prepared to fight on two fronts. When we're not, we're in trouble, and sad to say, we may be there today. But we had to fight the Japanese on one front, and we had to fight the Germans on another front. For Christians, it's worse than that. There's a three-front battle that we fight. It's called the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're commanded to watch out for those three things, and you and I encounter them pretty much on a regular basis. We're warned in 1 John 2:15 through 17, says, love not the world. Say that with me. Love not the world. Now, the world is very enticing, and it's got all the things and all the magazines and all the shows, and Hollywood pumps out all that stuff, and we pay good money to go and watch all their movies and all that stuff, and that's not the purpose of whether that's right or wrong, but we are constantly being inundated by the carrots and the deceit and the things that the world has to offer. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Connie Crosby's in heaven today because she trusted Christ as her Savior and did the will of God, and she will abide forever. That's a great promise in Christ. Now, the world cannot offer that. The world will chew you up and spit you out. Watch out for the world. Satan is also someone else that we ought to watch out for, but A.W. Tozer is someone that was a Bible scholar. He died May 12th, 1963. So what's that, 52 years ago, roughly, if my math is wrong, a little over 50 years ago, okay? He said, modern Christians hope to save the world by being like it, but it will never work. The church's power over the world springs out of her unlikeness to it, never from her integration into it. He said that over 50 years ago, saying modern Christians hope to save the world by being like it. You know, it would seem like that is more true than ever before. I wonder what he was looking at 50 years ago, because 50 years ago seemed like things were pretty good. 50 years ago, the early 60s, just coming out of the 50s, the argument could be made that the 50s in the United States of America were probably the zenith of character and morals and godly living. And saying the Psalms in our public schools and all of the things. And obviously he saw the decline of the church. Boy, I'll tell you what, he's got to be rolling over in his grave today when he thinks about modern Christians hope to save the world by being like it. Watch out for the world. Satan loves to dangle the world in front of us as though the world is going to satisfy us. And you've heard me quote many times, this world may try to satisfy. You can search this wide world o'er, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you find the Lord, because only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And nothing could be truer than that. The devil, Satan, the world, and the flesh. And I won't spend a lot of time talking about the flesh this morning, but you and I don't need to be told how our old sinful bodies have desires that have to be constantly watched and denied. And denied. And sad to say, is in America today, we don't deny ourselves anything. We think, what? You know, I used to joke with Lori when she was looking at something she wanted, and she was a person of self-control, and I say, why deny yourself, you know? And the fact is, we need to deny ourselves from the flesh. So with our Bibles open this morning in Ephesians chapter 6, and if you're using a pew Bible, we're on page 1255. We're going to do a little Bible study about the armor of God. We won't go very far this morning. I know we're baptizing. We won't take a lot of time, but I want you to see, if you take a passage, the best authority on the Bible is the Bible. So if you're looking for truth from the Word of God, there are going to be a lot of other corresponding verses going along with the subject that you're thinking of. But another thing you want to keep in mind is that a lot of times if you look at a passage several times over and over, things will start popping out to you that maybe you didn't see before. And I encourage people, I'm reading through my Bible this year. I'll do it every other year or something. This happens to be a year where I'm reading through my Bible. So I'm in Jeremiah right now. So the reality of it is, as you're reading through your Bible, a lot of times you're going through it, but you're missing a lot of things. You want to spend some time every now and then on just a portion of an area. You're not trying to cover ground. You're just trying to digest exactly what the page is saying, and you don't really care if you move on until you get it. Does that make sense? So in Ephesians chapter 6, we're talking about the armor of God, and it starts out in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. And so we have to put on the armor. It's like we're going to wear something, and you put it on, and I'm going to close with this thought, but we're going to put on the armor of God, and then in verse 12 it says, for we wrestle not. Now obviously, growing up, I don't know if they're still on or not, but some of the Stan the Man Stasiak was a wrestler, and Chief J. Strongbow, and all of these wrestlers, and they'd get in, and back there was back before the days. Now you see guys wrestling, and I mean the muscles and the sculpt. Back in my day when we were watching, these guys had beer bellies and everything. They just weren't. They were not pictures of, they were not specimens. But obviously, they'd put on all this thing, and they'd wrestle, and they'd grab them in the head, and they'd give them a head rub, and all these things on. And when I grew up, that was wrestling, you know? And so we didn't wrestle, we wrestled. You know, so we'd be outside. Now, if you wrestled in school, they'd call the police, but we used to wrestle all the time. Things like that going on, and the struggle going on. And one thing about wrestling is that you're using every fiber of your body, and you're not beating, you're not fighting, you're not stabbing, you're just struggling. Well, I'll tell you what, it's that struggle that, I don't know about you, at times this world and the struggle that we're in wears you out. You know, I mean, you may not get winded, but sometimes heaven is exciting to me because the Bible teaches it's a place of rest. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just think, I just like to rest. And that's one of the promises that we have in Christ. But the Bible says in verse 12, we're wrestling. But it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against liberal or conservative. It's not against policies that we see. It's not against the local. It's not those things. It's unseen forces behind the scenes that are pulling the levers, making things happen. There's a tremendous spiritual battle out there. And some folks may look at this and say, oh, come on, you can't be serious. I absolutely believe that the real struggle is not with human beings. The real struggle is the demon forces behind it that are getting things to happen. That's what my Bible teaches. That's the struggle, that's the wrestling that's going on. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, so we've got our Bible, we've got it open. In verse 11, I see a stand. In verse number 13, I see two stands. In verse number 14, I see another stand. You know why? Because you're going to get knocked down. I don't know about you, but I have fallen in the past. You know, I love those ads. I've fallen and I can't get up. You know, well, you know what? Christians sometimes fall and it's a struggle to get up. But I'll tell you what, it's funny sometimes if you're in a public place and you fall down, what do? You jump up just as fast as you can. You look around and you hope nobody saw you, right? Well, let me encourage you, Christian, if that's what happens, get up just as fast as you can, because we're commanded to stand. Stand, therefore. Watch out for the falling. It will happen. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have the armaments, we have the elements of the armor. If you look in your Bible, we have a breastplate. We have shoes. We have a shield. We have a helmet. We have a sword. But before we go too far, the Bible says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins. That's not a term that we use a great deal anymore, but there is a part of the body called the loins. It's from your hips up to your ribs. It's in this area right here. This is your loins, okay? Now, what happens is you and I, we pretty much in America today, we wear, I want to say, form-fitting clothes. We wear clothes that fit. I'm not talking tight clothes. I mean, it's just outward tailored clothes that fit. When the Bible was written, that wasn't the case. They wore more like frocks that were very loosely over them. In a hot climate, a lot of times, you're better off. There's a reason why all of that crowd over there wears towels around their heads, okay? And I'm not mocking that. I'm not saying that. It's cooler with something wrapped around your head than with nothing on it. It's hot over there. So you could even in the middle of the day, an umbrella would be a big help. It may not be raining, but you want something to shield you from the effects. So they wear this cape-type clothing that's very loose. And whenever they were going to get in a struggle or whenever they were going to run or whenever they were going to do something quick, they'd grab all their clothes and they'd tie it up around them, and it would look stupid. We'd never go out in public like that, but they'd gird their loins around them and have everything tightened up so they're ready. Now they're ready to wrestle. Okay, we're going now, you know? And it's saying, look, get ready, gird your loins, be ready for the battle. And how do you do that? What's it saying? Gird about with truth. You're going to tie yourself up. You're going to bind up your life. You're going to put yourself in order with truth. Truth. My voice cracked. That's a sign of I must be young and my voice has changed. With truth. Yeah. Ephesians 6:14, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Girt about with truth. What keeps a soldier free from entanglement? I want to just a little side note right here very quickly. You know what's demoralizing to soldiers in every battle, in every war, from Vietnam to wherever you want to go, is they wonder if they're truly fighting for what they've been told they're fighting for. And when they see their leadership vacillate on, you hear soldiers talk about, we were told to take that hill. We got up, we lost half our platoon getting it, and then they told us to come back off it, and the enemy took it back, and we wondered why we were doing that. You know why? Because there wasn't a clear idea of what they were truly after in the conflict, and they felt like they were lied to. I want you to know the most destabilizing factor in your Christian life is if you have a belief or you're starting to wonder if what you've been told is truly true. Truth. Say that with me. Truth. And I'll tell you what. If your faith is not founded on the Word of God, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. He is incapable of lying. He would never lead you astray. He said he is the only way. And who else? Satan comes along and says, oh, he is just a way. He is not the way. That's a lie, Satan. That's wrong. Amen. I was talking to someone I grew up with and thought that that person was a believer. But later in life, they have decided that all of those things that they thought when they were younger really isn't true, and Jesus is just a good man, and he's just a way shower. And I thought, oh my word, I don't want any part of that. Get thee behind me, Satan. And if someone comes along with you and says, you know, those Baptists, those gospel preachers, those evangelicals, those narrow-minded folk that just want to tell you there's only one way to heaven and it's through Jesus, those bigoted, prejudiced individuals that don't care about anybody else, just their only way, and they're the only ones that know the right way, folks, we're not the ones that made the rules. God Almighty said, Jesus is the only way. He sent his son to take your place. Do not think for a second, don't buy Satan's lie that there is some other way, that if you're good enough, that if you try hard enough, that if you're better than the other guy, you're going to be all right. It won't work. I talked to someone not long ago, and I said, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? And he said, yes, I have. And I said, so you're telling me if you died today, you're positive, you're going to heaven. And he said, oh, no. He said, I can't imagine anybody would say that, that they would be so presumptive to think that they're good enough. And I said, son, you don't understand. It isn't a matter of you being good enough. It's that Jesus paid the way. And if you've truly trusted him as your Savior, you're not bragging that you're good enough. You're bragging that Jesus paid for it. And it's okay. Now, I think there's a chance that that man truly was saved and just did not understand the gospel. But the reality of it is you can be guaranteed to go to heaven. And you can have it all. You can be sure while you're here on this earth. Death should not scare you because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And when you hang your hat on that truth, you're okay. Anything else is a lie right out of the pit of hell. Truth matters. Gird yourself with truth. Surround yourself with truth. Don't follow after any of Satan's garbage or lies or what the world will tell you. There's only one way, and Jesus paid it all. So why is it that we get so caught up in error, untruth? Very quickly, I'll give you three reasons. Number one, why don't we tell the truth? Number one, to cover our past. You know what? Some of us, no, I didn't say some of you, some of us have pasts that we're not proud of. Fact is, most people do. And so we don't want to admit that we were something in the past, but you know what? It doesn't matter what you were. One of the songs we sang, it was ever a sinner. I can't remember the exact words, but there was no sinner that ever came to Christ that was denied. Was ever a sinner denied? No, not one. No, not one. Doesn't matter what you've done. But sometimes we will lie to ourselves. We'll pad our resume. You know, I've met people. I've got friends. It was brought to my attention a couple of years ago that I have a good friend that lied about his background. What endorsements he had, what he could do, and it was found out, and it cost him his job. Why would you do that? You know, I think there's some freedom in admitting who you are. We sing the song, No, Not One, and obviously we sing, Only a Sinner Saved by Grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it, since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Don't bother to lie about yourself. Make yourself sound better. God's not interested in who some special deal you think you are. God knows exactly who you are. I think it's freeing when you admit, I'm a college dropout. I'm a mechanic by trade. I'm 53 years old, and when I look in the mirror, I am disappointed in what I see. Things are sagging. There are things showing up that I look at that and think, what happened? What is becoming of me? I used to be a bad golfer. I am now a horrid golfer. Amen. Amen. But you know what? I found that admitting some things about who you are is a freeing thing. And if you want to embellish who you are and lie about who you are, you're not gaining a thing. Gird yourself with truth. Why do we lie? To cover the past, to make ourselves better than we are, to keep from offending someone. Pastors will not cover the whole story. What a shame it'll be when we stand before God someday and some pastor has to give an account. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, a lot of times pastors don't want to tell the truth because they're afraid it will diminish their numbers, or so-and-so may be offended, or they think they're talking to them, or whatever is going on. And the Bible says, preach the word. Look, folks, not just pastors. Christians do it. They don't want to be offense. Just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Say that with me. Just tell the truth. And then lastly, why do we lie? Why do we not tell the truth? Is to keep from offending ourselves. You know, most of the time, we just don't want to admit who we are. Scott just saying, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I think Christians would do well to talk to the Lord and say, just please forgive me. And then just give it all to Him. Gird yourself with truth. We're out of time. We didn't get very far. We haven't even started talking about the armor. We just talked about girding ourselves with truth. But let me tell you this, and we'll be done. If you join the military, and I have not, I don't even know if they'd take me when I was young, but I never tried, okay? If we joined the military and you walked in and you sign on the paper, and then you went down to the surplus store because you're now in the military and you want to dress the part. So you go buy the fatigues and you even get yourself a bulletproof vest and you put on the helmet and everything, and man, you look like a soldier. Wouldn't that be exciting? Look at me, I'm a soldier. You don't know how to march. You don't know how to take orders. You haven't even been to boot camp. You don't know nothing, but you just got the part on. Are they a soldier? Are they a soldier? You answer the questions, we'll get out sooner. Okay? Now, maybe they are because they've signed the paper, but they've not become a soldier yet because they've not gone through the process. And there's something about going through all the training and the boot camp and the camaraderie with the men, and knowing that then there comes a time when that unit goes out into battle and they've done all of those things together, they are literally willing to die for their buddy, because the military system has indoctrinated in them and ingrained in them, and they have made a soldier, not because they've dressed them on the outside, but they have transformed them on the inside into a cohesive fighting unit. Am I wrong? That's how it works, isn't it? Now, here we are. We're talking about the armor of God, and it's got all of the things, but if you go down through and you look at that passage, what's happening, it isn't just a matter of reading the verses. God wants to transform you into a soldier for Jesus Christ. And it's not just a matter of reading those things and thinking, oh Lord, give me the breastplate. Oh Lord, no. God wants to train you, change you, transform you into something that there are people wearing full body armor right now in Christ, but we can't see it. But it's on them, and God is protecting them, because they're sold out to Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to submit yourselves to the training, to the boot camp, to the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And before you know it, you'll be wearing body armor. Nobody will see it, but you and God will know you're ready for battle. Heavenly Father.